Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. He joins us every Monday in the 12 o'clock hour. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Great to be with you.
So, Guy, let's just first talk about the Open Market Committee last week. They cut short-term rates. If you would remind folks how that actually works and what this actually means at this point in time.
Yeah. Federal Reserve has what's called the Open Market Committee. It's not every member, but you have certain standing members, like the head of the New York Fed gets to vote, the chairman gets to vote, and then a rotating cast. They can set short-term rates. And what they set is the Fed funds rate. And the Fed funds rate is an index which is related to the prime rate. So short-term rates are all set by the Federal Reserve. And what they did is they reduced rates by 25%. Now, what's interesting is you had some real dissent on the committee for the first time. I mean, there's been dissent, but this time you had three no votes. Stephen Miron said he wanted a larger cut, a 50 basis point cut. Austin Goolsbee and Jeffrey Schmidt both said, you know, the inflation's still high. We basically don't need to reduce rates at all. So what they ended up doing is reducing it by 25%, 25 basis points. And this sets up an interesting dynamic for the next meeting because right now, 75% of the voters on the CME Rate Watch are saying that they don't expect a rate cut in January. It becomes 50-50 in March. Now, one of the things that's frustrating is people look at this and they say, well, the Fed cut rates, so my mortgage rate should go down. The Fed doesn't control long-term rates. You know, long-term rates are set by supply and demand. And one of the things that concerns the Fed, should concern us as taxpayers, is because we haven't made any progress on the deficit, long-term rates are actually going up. So if you look back 3 years ago, the 30-year Treasury was 3.81%. 2 years ago, it was 4.08. 1 year ago, it was 4.78. And now it's 4.85. So we're talking about, oh, rates are dropping. Well, short-term rates are dropping, but long-term rates are not dropping. And we have continued concern, and the Federal Reserve board members are discussing their concerns about inflation, tariffs, and other things, which is leading them in different directions. And this all sets up early next year when the president gets to appoint a new chairman of the Fed.
And Guy, I guess at this point in time, because timing is everything, right, when you're assessing where you are. One of the biggest decisions to be made here in the short term that contributes to this deficit in a big way are the Obamacare subsidies, whether they're in or they're out.
Yeah, and that is a challenge because the federal government has a big financial problem. The financial problem is we're spending more money than we take in. The problem is not getting better. In 6 years, the Social Security system will expend all of its reserves and go on a pay-as-you-go basis, meaning a 20% cut in benefits. And if we extend the subsidies, that will further increase the deficit. One of the challenges is when the Obamacare bill was passed, it wasn't called Obamacare. It was the Affordable Care Act. The discussion was this will bend the curve of cost downwards and save the average American $2,500 a year. Well, the objective was great. I mean, everybody wants medical costs to be lower, but the outcome was awful. Medical inflation has continued to rise, and we spend about 50% more than the rest of the developed world on medical care. So there are a lot of reasons that we do this, but some of them are inefficient. Some of them are a result of federal actions. And so what the subsidies did is they hid this medical inflation from the consumer because you weren't actually paying the full price. So when you eliminate the subsidies, consumers will actually have to pay the actual price, and there'll still be some subsidy for poor Americans. But this is a challenge, and the subsidies are masking an underlying problem because anyone who has private insurance knows their insurance rates have continued to go up, and they've gone up faster than inflation.
Yeah, what is medical inflation right now? Do we know?
Medical inflation is trending between 5 and 6%, and the unfortunate thing is it has been consistently above general inflation. So that is a real, real tough challenge, and it's something that both sides wanted to deal with. You know, they were hoping that they could get this to the point where medical inflation would be lower. One of the things that's happened is hospital inflation's up over 5%. And one of the unfortunate consequences of the Affordable Care Act is consolidation. And, you know, we see that in Louisiana where you have big hospital networks. Well, big hospital networks have pricing power, and they're able to charge more and get the insurance companies to pay more because they don't have good options. So that's been a big problem, and that's something that, you know, I saw a headline, you know, Congress has only days to fix this. Congress can't fix this problem in days. They can mask the problem by continuing to pay subsidies, but the fix is a longer-term fix. It took us a while to mess things up, and it'll take us a while to fix them. And it wasn't that people had bad intentions. They really intended to do the right thing and reduce cost. It just didn't work that way. And so we need to say, look, our priority was good. Our policy is not working. So let's change the policy and make it work.
And it looks like Republicans right now are attempting, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it, in a very haphazard way of trying to put together something as an alternative to the extension of these subsidies, because everybody knows how much it's going to contribute to the deficit. But the fact of the matter is the subsidy, although it was put in place by the Democrats temporarily, they have become very popular because basically the federal government has been financing individuals' health care.
Sure. And look, anything that reduces my cost is going to be popular with me. So if the federal government reduces the gasoline tax, so now it's cheaper to put gas in the car, I'm going to like that. And so are most voters. And that's the challenge when the Fed starts distributing benefits. You know, it's intriguing. When our founding fathers started the country, they were talking about making payments to individuals. And the consensus was, well, if we start this, it'll never end because these payments will be very popular because voters will like getting what appears to be something for nothing. And that's the challenge we're facing right now. It looks like you're getting a great deal, but it has to be paid for. And ultimately, because of the deficit, it's going to end up being paid for with plus interest over time. So the challenge we have is, what do we do to reduce actual health care cost? And I'd love to see the president get together and call in leaders from both sides and say, look, let's look around the world and see why our costs are higher than the rest of the world's. You know, let's look at real solutions. And you're right, the Republican side has had repeal and replace, strict repeal. Many Republicans have run on just repeal. And it's understandable, but the challenge is once something becomes embedded, once people are used to getting a benefit paid for by taxpayers, it's hard to have a solution that's going to be politically popular. So that's the dilemma. And this is a one-week dilemma because Congress is not in session next week. And they really effectively only work 2 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Senator Cassidy's proposed bigger payments to health savings accounts, which I think most people would like. I think that makes economic sense because then the consumer is doing price comparison. You know, things like Mark Cuban's drug program with transparent pricing makes sense. So if we push in those directions, I think there's progress to be made, but I'm not overly optimistic at this moment.
So let's assume for, let me ask the question this way. In your gut, are they going to pass something?
If I were a betting person, and I'm not, I was just talking to somebody about not buying lottery tickets, I would say no, because
I know who that was.
Somebody asked me, well, guy, how would you feel if you won the lottery? I said, I'd be the most embarrassed person in America because I've told everybody don't buy a lottery ticket. So I think no, because you have Team D wanting just let's extend the subsidies until we're back in power and then we'll make them permanent. You have some conservative Team R looking at the deficit and saying, look, we just need to stop. This was meant to be temporary. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off and make it temporary. And then you have the other, a moderate group that includes some Republicans, some Democrats saying, well, let's make some changes now. We have some momentum. Let's look at some things that might actually do what was intended in the first place, push the cost needle down. I mean, one thing, simple things. Hospitals get paid, you know, sometimes twice, sometimes three times what a doctor's office gets paid for the same procedure. Reduce the payment and say, look, if a doctor can do it in their office for $1,000, $500, whatever the number is, that's all we're reimbursing hospitals. You know, you have increased your cost faster than inflation year after year. Just know we can't do that anymore.
Yeah, but they have all the infrastructure that they need to support some way. You know, I mean, it's very much a slippery slope. You mentioned
just on numbers real quickly, doctors' services have gone up 2.4% while hospital costs have gone up 5.5%. So, and that's just in a year. So, I mean, that gives you that disparity that we were talking about.
Yeah, there's no doubt we need to figure out a system, but unfortunately, we keep kicking the can down the road. And then, as I just pointed out, or you just pointed out, you got 3 days to come up with something. I mean, you know. And we all know what happens there. You mentioned real solutions earlier. There seems to be a move in Congress. Again, once you give this, everybody's going to love it. No taxes on Social Security. That's got to have an impact on the deficit too, right?
Oh, yeah. That's an idea that would be very populist. I could see Bernie Sanders loving it. I could see Mamdani loving it. I can see people that are in swing districts loving it because anytime you give away money, it's very popular. The challenge is we can't afford it. If we continue to spend more money than we take in, we are setting ourselves up for a disaster. And the disaster is either going to be massively higher taxes, significant cuts in spending, or very big inflation. So you've got three terrible outcomes. We've got to quit heading that toward that cliff. I mean, we're in the river headed toward Niagara Falls, and people are saying, "Well, let's put another outboard motor on the back and speed up."
Yeah, I mean, I what's amazing to me is we throw these things out as though they're and there's a justification as though this is a real life solution. Sure, anybody who's drawn Social Security would love to not pay anything, but it's like, you know, where's all of this coming from? And then there's so many other ideas that they're throwing out there that's going to reduce the government revenue. You're going to have to start laying people off and cutting programs. I mean, it's the only way that any of this is going to work. Let us go back for just a moment, too, about the decision by the Fed Reserve to cut 25 basis points. There's a dual mission of the Federal Reserve, if you would remind our listening audience, and then the following. Tomorrow, a bunch of reports are going to be issued by the Labor Department, right? Maybe these folks have already seen these reports. I don't know. Just find it a little curious that they cut and they don't know. Let's assume they don't know what's coming out.
Yeah, they have a pretty good idea what's coming out, because what the Federal Reserve banks, and there are 12 of them, they do surveys of business all the time. We're one of the businesses that it's surveyed, so they're always asking us about inflation. So they have a pretty good heads up. They can't talk about it because you're front-running a government data release, and that's effectively would inspire insider trading, and they don't want to get there. So what they're expecting is the labor market is continuing to cool, but underneath that, what the Fed understands is the labor market's in a bit of a mismatch. We've created too many people with soft degrees and without the important skills that are needed right now in America. Because of immigration sweeps, we're losing workers that are doing work that Americans don't want to do. We have a roofing company that is a customer of ours that said, I don't know if I can put roofs on next year because, you know, the typical American doesn't want to get on the roof in the summer in New Orleans. And I can understand that. I don't want to do it. It's super hot. But if you lose that workforce, those costs are going to go up.
Let me ask you something, though. Is it that they don't want to get up on the roof, or they don't want to get up on the roof of the number that they're going to be paid?
Well, and then you're back to dual mandate. The dual mandate is to keep prices low and stable and keep inflation and unemployment low. So if you're saying, well, we're going to just raise the price to whatever it takes to get somebody that is willing to go up on that roof when it's over 100 degrees on the rooftop, then you as the homeowner, when your roof needs to be repaired, are going to pay a lot more. Your insurance company that covers roof repairs is going to raise your insurance, and that pushes inflation. So that's the challenge of the dual mandate, because you're wrestling with both challenges at one time. And in California, the growers will tell you it almost doesn't matter what you offer. It is hard to get American citizens to want to pick row crops like strawberries. It's just something that we've become averse to doing.
But we're also averse to, because part of the problem is there's no way that anyone can convince me that we're not experiencing wage suppression by virtue of allowing this unlimited or satisfying this unlimited desire for immigrant labor, both illegal and legal immigrant labor in this country.
Yeah, the challenge is the issue with immigrants is a little more complex than just one immigrant replacing.
Well, let's do this.
Job.
Let's go to break. Let's go to break and let's pick up the conversation there. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with
us. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We've been talking about the Fed with their 25 basis point cut last week, the jobs reports, a lot of labor reports coming out tomorrow because of the government shutdown. They're backed up, and we were just talking about what those numbers will reveal. And also been talking about the state of employment right now. Businesses are making money, so it's kind of interesting of what's going on in the dual mandate that the Fed has. And Guy, we're just getting ready to talk about both legal immigration, labor, as well as illegal immigration, labor, and the nuances of both.
Yeah, and what I'll just say the same thing. I met with our U.S. senators and said, look, everyone agrees that securing the border is important. We need to do that. You can't have a country without secure borders. And everyone agrees, I say everyone, almost everyone, that we should deport criminals. But I think it makes all the sense in the world for us to say, look, people who have been here for 5 years or more that are working, paying taxes, haven't caused any trouble, let's create a pathway. You pay a fine, you broke the law, that's not a free pass. There's a pathway to citizenship. It's not immediate. There has to be some time period where we make sure that you're minding your P's and Q's. But if we could do that, I think we could really help our economy. I know right now our customers, our small business customers, are telling us it is very hard to staff their restaurants, staff their landscaping companies. Our churches are telling us that their Hispanic members are afraid to go to church because of the immigration rate. So I think there's a compromise here that we should get to, and I hope we will, because, you know, we really do need, if we don't have immigrants, America becomes just like Europe, where we have a shrinking population. And that's not a good thing. You can't remain the preeminent economy in the world if you start shrinking. And none of our social programs work based on a shrinking population. We have to have a growing population in order to make the numbers work in the future.
But how do you get to a compromise? Because, I mean, to me, the simple way you do this is you put the enforcement provisions in on the front end to make sure that, you know, everything's in place before you start granting these pathways. So, for example, why do we not have the federal mandate of E-Verify? Why do we not have the federal mandate that is safe and secure as it relates to voting in this country, that you have to be a citizen in order to vote? You know, why is it that we cannot put in place that to qualify for social programs here, that there's a time period that you're not entitled to any of that when you come into this country for a period of time? And if you cannot prove that you are in fact employable, that that's going to be a problem. When we have 40-some-odd million people living below the federally identified poverty level, all of these are contributors to the deficit posture in which to which we find ourselves in today. And they're all quantifiable. But there's this huge reluctance to limit any of that. I mean, if whether we let in 1.3 million a year or 3.5 million, it doesn't really matter if there's a need. And, you know, and why are we not thinking about economic credentialing? It doesn't make much sense.
There's a genuine need. And one of the first steps has already been taken. If you remember, before there was always, well, we can't secure the border. Well, it turns out you can. That's effectively done. So the border is secure. So that was the foundation step that everybody thought was necessary, and I agree was necessary to start talking about immigration. One of the unfortunate challenges is parties love to have issues that are red meat issues for their base. And I remember talking to a lady, and you know, this is not an issue I'm going to discuss my position on because it's too sensitive, but she was in the Democratic administration. She was very strongly pro-choice. She wanted to codify Roe v. Wade. And when there was a majority under President Obama of House, Senate, and President, she thought this is a great time to do it. And she was asking, well, why aren't we doing this? And they said, the issue is too important to us politically. We need to be able to campaign on it. And she actually dropped out, resigned, and became an independent. So, well, if we get elected and we're trying to do something and we can never do it, then what's the point of getting elected? And one of the challenges that Team D and Team R both have is you'll get an issue that you think you can campaign on, and you don't really want to fix it because then it's over. So I think that's one of the challenges we face on immigration. We've secured the border. That's great. Real applause. We agree that the criminals should be deported. Now we need to look at, okay, how do we deal with folks that have been here, and particularly kids that came in 20 years ago? They don't know anybody in Ecuador or Chile, and it just seems cruel to deport them for something their parents did. One of the interesting things is the Federal Reserve in Kansas City did a study on immigrants, and they found that their participation in the workforce is higher than native-born Americans. So they're not contributing to unemployment, and I think your point of you're not eligible for welfare benefits makes perfect sense. I'm sorry, I misspoke. It's the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis did a study of immigrants' impact on unemployment. So if people want to look at that offline, they can. But there's a compromise to be made, but I think there are people on both sides that would rather campaign on the issue, particularly with midterms coming up. And it's up to us as voters to say, look, y'all need to do the right thing. This is too important. One of the things I've talked about before is we have Russia, which invaded Ukraine. Horrible violation of human rights, violating every rule there is. If we want to help hurt Russia and help the U.S., say, all right, any Russian professional, engineer, scientist, teacher, bus driver, machine operator that wants to come to the U.S. that has a clean record, we're giving you a green card. We would simultaneously weaken Russia and strengthen the United States. You know, that to me would be an easy way. It doesn't cost any money. We actually make money because all those people would have jobs and would be paying taxes.
Yeah, look, I mean, I get at some point in time we're going to have to play catch up, right? But there is this lack of willingness in order to do it. And you put the infrastructure in place first, and then you start making the accommodations. And you know, and what everybody wants is no one trusts the other side of the aisle that they're going to deliver on what they say they're going to deliver on, right? But you can put it in the bill where things don't take effect until so many years later. You can also put in the bill that it's going to take two-thirds vote in the respective houses in order to change any of this and limit yourself as to what your authority is going to be in order to get from point A to point B. But where we are right now, if you look at educational systems across the country, they're all financially taxed because of the amount of people that came across the border in a short period of time. And yeah, I mean, we want to educate these folks, but at what cost? And we have, and it wasn't until we moved the problem from the border states to the interior that everybody started crying uncle and understanding what the downstream implications of all of this were going to be. We have a healthcare system that's taxed to the max right now. And, you know, we have a huge illegal immigrant population working in this country that's medically uninsured for automobile insurance. They have no insurance of any type. You know, you get hit in a vehicle by one of these folks and you're down and out. You're hitting your UM coverage and you're going to, you know, they claim that you're not supposed to have an impact on increased premiums when that happens, but all of a sudden, you know, conveniently, there's a 10 to 12% increase in your premium the following year. And
well,
these are cost drivers for individuals that we, one way or another, we're paying for the advantage for what they have abused in our system of coming here illegally. We're paying for it and we're being inconvenienced by it as well, as opposed to this happening in a very ordered and structured way. But nobody, and you know, and it's a lot of it is the rhetoric of Trump that permeates throughout this argument. These are not bad people. They just want what everybody else wants, is to be able to live, work, and raise a family in a safe and secure place. But how much inconvenience do American citizens have to experience, and how much burden do they have to take on for this to work without Congress taking some action one way or the other?
Well, and I think that gets back to why it makes sense for Congress to take action. And I think the reasonable compromise is you draw a line and say, look, that big surge where we didn't check anybody at the border, if you came in during that period, you really need to self-deport and start over. You know, you can apply from outside. But anyone who's been here 5 years or longer, is paying taxes, working a job, not violating the law, let's, once again, pay a fine, have a time period, say, look, there's another five-year grace period. You have to, if you keep your nose clean for 5 years, then you have a pathway to citizenship. I think that could help a lot. And, you know, we talked about health care inflation. If we could get back to allowing the Filipino nurses to come in, it's not going to displace anybody. We have more open nursing jobs than we can possibly fill with all the nursing schools running full tilt. We need some foreign help.
But what does that say about our country? I read an article the other day, and if I discuss this with you before, please stop me, about nephrology in rural America, that without Indian doctors being imported into this country, we cannot provide the basic services for rural health care. And I just find it kind of interesting that we are the most powerful nation in the world. We have the best medical training in the world, but yet we've never invested in ourselves. And the true reality of it is, when you dig deep into these articles that are written about this, it's because they can get them cheaper. And it's like, well, wait a minute. We can't, on the one hand, complain that, you know, there's not enough jobs out there, but we are purposely not creating the jobs, not putting the infrastructure in, not providing the education necessary to do it, because we know that we can get it for 60 cents on a dollar if we import the labor in. I mean, we're not being honest with ourselves in so many different fronts. And then we have our kids, our U.S. kids, you know it better than I do, pick an occupation, any occupation. we're competing against immigrant students that are not citizens in this country for those same jobs. It's like, how did we get ourselves into that predicament? You know, how are we, middle America, paying gobs of tuition for our kids to get educated and to be at a competitive disadvantage to an immigrant student? How did that happen? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
In the medical world, this is actually a problem created by the federal government. The federal government controls the internship slots, and we have not, as a U.S. government and as a healthcare policy, increased med school slots and internship slots to keep up with demand. And one of the things that's happened is over the last decades, modern medicine has gotten better and better. And that means that you and I can expect to live longer. We can expect to have more treatments, more diseases become treatable. But you need more doctors per capita than we had in the 50s. And we have not kept up with the slots. So then the challenge is you get some issue, you go to the hospital and they say, well, it's going to be months before you can see a specialist because we don't have enough specialists. So this is truly a problem we have created for ourselves. And I would, as part of this healthcare deal, push very hard to increase nursing school slots, increase medical school slots, because we need more doctors and nurses.
No doubt about it. When we come back, we'll talk about how Boeing is beginning to regain its position against Airbus when we return. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We've all heard about the trials and tribulations that Boeing has had for a period of time. And, Guy, you say that they're regaining their position compared to Airbus.
They are. This has been a back-and-forth battle. Before 1969, Boeing absolutely dominated global aircraft deliveries. And the European Union said, look, we're going to set up a competitor. And they have a core group, France, Germany, UK, and Spain, all involved, all funding Airbus for years, which lost money. for years and years. Well, finally, in 2008, Airbus delivered more airplanes than Boeing. So 2008 to 2011, Airbus was ahead. Boeing pulled back into the lead in 2012 to 2018 and was really doing well. Great demand for all of their planes, particularly 737s. And they made a horrible strategic error when they expanded the plane to the max. And they said, rather than making the pilots go through recurrent training on this new version, we're going to make the computer make the plane fly like the older planes. So we can just deliver them, no training needed, and life will be good. Well, we know we had two crashes. It was terrible. Boeing has since corrected that. And then Boeing, of course, had the horrible incident where a door blew off of a plane. Fortunately, there was nobody sitting next to it, but solved that problem. Well, what's happened since then is Boeing has really gotten their arms around their quality product, and they've started to deliver more planes. This year, they're going to deliver 537. Airbus still has the lead at 657. But Airbus has two problems. One, they're fly-by-wire, meaning you're using a side joystick that's not attached to anything. It's a computer console, effectively. Well, the computer console was subject to dangers from solar flares, so they had to update the software in 680 different planes around the world, and that grounded the A380 fleet for a while. Now, that's been fixed. That's over. But the new problem is a Spanish manufacturer, and remember how it started. You had the core companies, France, Germany, UK, and Spain. So every country got part of the core assembly. Spanish manufacturer was making panels that were too thin. So they've corrected it for the newest panels, but they're going to have to go back to every plane that used those panels and replace the panels with thicker panels. And that's a big deal. You're replacing skin on airplanes.
Yep.
So based on that, it looks like next year you could have Boeing retaking the lead, and Airbus's attempt to create a competitor to the 747 with the A380 didn't really work. With the exception of Emirates, nobody really bought that. Whereas Boeing focused on the 787 Dreamliner, which was an all-carbon, lightweight, fuel-efficient plane, which people really like, the airlines really like. So the looks like next year is going to be a great year for Boeing. And then the question is, which one of them comes up with a new clean slate design for single-aisle planes, which are the best-selling planes in the world? Both of them know they have to do it. It's incredibly expensive, and that's going to be the next race to see who takes the lead going forward. But right now, Team Boeing is surging ahead.
And in the end, none of that is good for the consumer, right? Because you know, as the cost goes up and, you know, the competition wanes a little bit because of these issues and problems, the consumer ends up paying the price when it's all said and done.
Well, actually, air travel, I'm going to disagree a little bit. Air travel is cheaper than it's been in years.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
You have a lot of options, but it's also incredibly safe. You hear people talk about it. I'm afraid about getting in the plane. You ought to be afraid driving your car. Per million miles traveled, airfare is by far, it's safer than walking, it's safer than bicycling, it's safer than driving any sort of car. So,
no, I agree.
You know,
I agree with you.
A way for people to get around the world pretty easily.
No, I agree with you. But we've run out of time, so we'll talk about that next week. More so. But thank you again for joining us. We really appreciate it. And also next week, we're going to end up talking about this Venezuela oil thing, because I think that's a very interesting conversation that we didn't get to today as well. Thank you so much, and have a great week.
Oh, you too. See you then.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.